Since 1968, no Republican presidential candidate has received more than 13% of the African-American vote, and surveys of African-Americans regularly show that upwards of 80% of African-Americans self-identify as Democrats. I ask the question, why is it often considered black people's duty, obligation, and birthright to vote Democrat no matter what? Where are the receipts? What have they done for us? Our communities are still fucked up. Crime, poverty, mass incarceration, police brutality still infect the black community at disproportionate rates. And no, just to clear any confusion anyone might have, I'm not a conservative. I am not on the right. Politically, I identify on the progressive left. So I don't want any right-wing conservatives to listen to this and think I'm on their side. No, fuck you and your team, too. You see, you have to give that disclaimer because people will hear you talk like that and think you're one of them on some Kim Klasick type shit. I just asked the question, though. What have they done for us? And why is it, furthermore, how come no black person can speak out against the Democratic Party without being accused of being a Russian bot, a troll, a sellout, a house nigga trying to help the other side win? So with that being said, let's talk about Ice Cube. Ice Cube, legendary rapper, actor, film producer, director, basketball league owner, entertainment icon for the past 30 years, has found himself in some hot water recently with some comments and remarks he's made about both major mainstream political parties, with some alleged dealings with the Trump administration, collaborating with them on the contract with Black America, which then led to the Platinum Plan that Trump put out October 7th. A lot of liberals, a lot of Democrats coming for Cube because they're accusing him of working for the other side at the same time trying to suppress the black vote right before the election. Cube went on CNN recently and said, "I didn't run to go work for any campaign. Both campaigns contacted me. Both campaigns wanted to talk to me about the contract with Black America. One campaign said, we love what you have, but let's really dig into that after the election." That's what the Democrats said. The Republicans said, "We love what you have. Do you mind talking to us about it?" And that's what he said, that's what he did. "I didn't run to anybody." So let's unpack that for a little bit. Ice Cube's contract with Black America. What is that exactly? If you go to the website contractwithblackamerica.us, the preface to the contract reads, "This contract with Black America strikes at the heart of racism and presents a blueprint to achieve racial economic justice. It was written in the backdrop of the killing of George Floyd, which set off a wave of protests not seen since the civil rights era of the 1950s and 60s, and a global pandemic in which the black mortality rate is more than double the white rate, and in which 45%, nearly half of black-owned businesses have closed. Now, the impact of something presumably random, such as a pandemic, however catastrophic, can be so linked to one's racial identity is highly problematic, and further evidence that as a nation we are failing miserably. This links to a larger political and economic vulnerability, whether we're in a pandemic or not. The immoral devaluation of black lives has been ingrained in America's political economy and is long overdue for a reckoning." So the contract is basically a 22-page document addressing racial inequality, talking about black opportunity and representation, massive bank lending and finance reform, judicial and public policy reform, constitutional amendment codifying expansion of the 13th Amendment by the courts, police reform, entertainment industry reform and reparations, monuments and institutions, and black Americans' responsibility. Furthermore, in the contract with Black America, Ice Cube asked politicians for banking, police, and prison reform, elimination of all Confederate statues, federal funding of baby bonds starting with $1,000 at birth, among other reforms to support the black community in order to earn the support of the black vote. Trump's proposed Platinum Plan would include creating 3 million jobs in the black community over the next 4 years, increasing access to capital by nearly $500 billion, and strengthening Trump's immigration policies to protect American jobs, according to his website. I think the problem that a lot of people have with Cube working with Trump is the fact that Donald Trump has never have and never will truly give a fuck about black people. Let's just call it what it is. My only real issue with Cube working with Trump, for me personally, is I think Cube got played the same way a lot of other brothers and sisters got played for working with Trump. Steve Harvey got played, Ray Lewis got played, Kanye West got played. And it's funny because when Colin Kaepernick took a knee to bring awareness to police brutality when he was playing quarterback for the 49ers in the NFL and staged his protest, a lot of conservatives, a lot of people on the right said, well, if Kaepernick really feels so strongly about police reform and police brutality and social injustice and racial inequality, then why doesn't he go to the White House and sit down and meet with Donald Trump? I would say because Colin Kaepernick is smart enough and savvy enough to know that if he goes there, he's just going to be used as a photo op and nothing really is going to be accomplished. And I think Ice Cube misses that point. Ice Cube is being used as a photo op, as a pawn. To that point, 2020 Trump advisor Katrina Pearson tweeted out, "Shout out to Ice Cube for his willingness to step up and work with real Donald Trump administration to help develop the Platinum Plan. Leader's going to lead, haters going to hate. Thank you for leading." And that's really when the backlash started. When Trump's own campaign advisor came out and thanked Ice Cube for his work in helping to develop the Platinum Plan, that's when Cube started catching a lot of backlash. And that's what I mean when I say Cube is being used as a pawn. There's really no true intent for them to work with black people to help develop our communities and help embolden and empower us as a people. It's just a photo op. It's just good media. It's good press. It makes them look good. It makes them look not so racist. At the core of the backlash is the suspicion that Cube's commentary and his chief political initiative, the Contract with Black America, is less about promoting a black agenda and more about suppressing black voter turnout for the Democratic Party, which black Americans overwhelmingly support. So I think there's a thought amongst a lot of black people that the timing of Cube's comments is an effort to sabotage Joe Biden in his upcoming election, that Ice Cube is working with the Republican Party against the Democratic Party to stifle Joe Biden's campaign and keep him out of the White House and help Donald Trump get reelected. I think that's where the anger and the angst for a lot of black people come from. And I see a number of brothers and sisters in the media going at Cube, trying to silence him, telling him you shouldn't be speaking out of turn. Who are you? You're just an actor. You're just a rapper. You're not qualified for this. Well, where are the people who are qualified for it? What have they done? What have they said? I'm not going to criticize Cube for doing the work. I'm also not going to look at Cube and say you shouldn't say anything. You shouldn't speak out of turn. That's some Laura Ingraham type shit. To me, like, I heard D.L. Hughley say that about Ice Cube, that you're the guy responsible for Three Fridays. So what makes you qualified to speak about politics and what black people need? To me, that's bullshit. That's no different than Laura Ingraham telling LeBron James to shut up and dribble. Why are we as black people telling other brothers and sisters what they can and cannot say? If that brother felt compelled to speak out and put the work in to initiate this contract with black America, so be it. I'm not going to knock a brother for doing the work. But we got a lot of brothers and sisters out here doing nothing, just complaining, just talking shit, just on the keyboard, angry all day, on their shows. You know, Roland Martin, D.L. Hughley, Don Lemon on CNN. You got a lot of brothers out here trying to protect a liberal agenda because they've been trained to think that the Democrats are going to help us, despite, once again, no receipts, despite no evidence to the contrary. So we got a brother like Cube calls out both parties and said, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's make these mainstream political parties work for our vote instead of just arbitrarily giving them our vote." He gets a lot of backlash. He gets a lot of criticism. He gets accused of being a Russian operative or whatever the fuck. He gets his own people going at him and saying that he's a turncoat, a traitor, a sellout, a Judas. I just don't understand it. At what point do we start demanding these people in the Democratic Party really start showing receipts for what they're going to do for us? Because the same way the Republicans only look at us as a photo op is the same way Democrats look at us as a photo op, as an opportunity to exploit us for votes. Performative politics. Showing up to a black barbershop, showing up to a black church, taking pictures, holding black babies. Bill Clinton back in the day playing a saxophone on Arsenio Hall. Talking about how he used to smoke a little weed back in the day, but he never inhaled. First of all, that's a waste of a joint. I'm mad about that. But both political parties, both mainstream political parties have played us for 50 years, yet we as black people are so obsequious to one party, despite the fact that we have nothing to show for it. And I just don't understand it. You look at the wealth gap between black and white people. White households hold 11.5 times more wealth than black people. Black home ownership is at a record low. More black people are being imprisoned than in the 1960s. Both parties, I want to make that clear, both mainstream political parties have contributed to these policy failures while letting big businesses off the hook for practices that exploit and harm our communities. This includes encouraging manufacturing jobs to leave for cheaper, deunionized labor in sectors that were disproportionately occupied by black men, failing to adequately regulate big banks who profited from subprime mortgages targeted to black communities, failing to assist black Americans when the economy crashed on their backs and enabling corporations to make astronomical profits off of disproportionately Black and Latino workers working in essential jobs during COVID. Both of these parties are antithetical to the existence of Black people. Both of these parties are adversarial to the existence of Black people. So I don't understand that when a brother or sister or any Black person calls out the Democrats, you have an army of Black people who are ready, willing, and able to defend a party of people who've done nothing for us for 50 years, yet you continue to vote for them. Do I think the Platinum Plan from Trump is going to help us? Fuck no. First of all, the name of that plan is insulting. What else is included in the Platinum Plan? Do we get free watermelon delivery every Tuesday? All the malt liquor you can drink? A lifetime supply of fried chicken with that Platinum Plan? Is each Black person going to be given a free Boost Mobile pay-as-you-go cell phone with this Platinum Plan? Get the fuck out of here. Like I said, that's insulting. Now, we talked about the contract with Black America, and we talked about Trump's fraudulent Platinum Plan. Let's talk about Joe Biden, who has his own plan for Black America called the Lift Every Voice Plan. According to Joe Biden's own website, joebiden.com, the Biden Plan for Black America proposes to advance the economic mobility of African Americans and close the racial wealth and income gaps, expand access to high-quality education and tackle racial inequity in our education system, make far-reaching investments in ending health disparities by race, strengthen America's commitment to justice, make the right to vote and the right to equal protection real for African Americans, and address environmental justice. I find that funny because he's against the Green New Deal. First of all, it's longer than the one-page Platinum Plan, so I'll give Jim Crow Joe credit for that. But do we trust him to deliver on all that? This guy's been in Washington for 47 years and hasn't done a whole lot for Black people. He's done a whole lot to hurt Black people. So it sounds nice. It sounds good on paper. And if he wins, which as each day passes, I think he has a better shot at winning, because I think Trump has just destroyed his own campaign and has hurt himself in a lot of ways. So I do think there's a strong possibility Joe could win this. If he does win, then we as Black people as a collective got to hold his feet to the fire. Because there's also a strong possibility that the Democrats are going to take over the Senate. There's going to be a second blue wave similar to 2018 in the House. So Democrats already control the House, rumored and proposed and projected to take over the Senate. And then you have a Democrat in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as your president and vice president. So they'll have a majority rule. There'll be no excuses. Democrats will own and run Washington. So if Joe does get elected, let's hold him to all these promises. No excuses. Can't point the finger at the Republicans. You can't say, well, we tried to do this, but the Republicans got in their way. No, I call bullshit on that. Any and every opportunity to grow, advance, and cultivate Black people in our culture and eliminate our problems and really put something in motion to help Black people move forward if you get elected. So we'll see what happens with that. Ice Cube is not the only rapper to be embroiled in some controversy this week. 50 Cent, facing a lot of backlash, caused an uproar all over the internet and social media with his comments, his endorsement of Donald Trump in the 2020 election. 50 said, I don't even care. I don't give a fuck if Trump doesn't like Black people. I'm still going to vote for him. The funniest thing about that to me is all these conservative commentators waving the pom-poms for 50 Cent. All of a sudden, they're big 50 Cent fans. You know, conservatives and conservative commentators especially love having watered-down, milquetoast, vanilla house Negroes, broken-down, bootlegging house Negroes on their side so they can champion their cause and say, look, I'm not so racist. 50 Cent agrees with me. They love having house niggas on their side. They love having that token Black friend to make them not appear so racist. That's always been funny to me. If 50 Cent had come out and said, fuck Trump, they'd have been pulling up all his old lyrics, talking about how he'd been shot 9 times, talking about his past, he was a drug dealer, this, that, and the third. But because 50 came out in support of Trump, all of a sudden he's their guy. They listen to Get Rich or Die Trying every day on a 24-hour loop. Sure. 50's biggest problem is Joe Biden's suggested tax plan. If the Democratic presidential nominee's plan were to be put in effect, those making over $400,000 a year would pay 62% in taxes in California, 62% in New York City, 60% in New Jersey, and 58% in New York State. 50 had a strong reaction to those numbers, writing on social media, what the fuck? Vote for Trump. I'm out. Fuck New York. The Knicks never win anyway. He added, I don't care Trump doesn't like black people. 62% of y'all are out of your fucking mind. Seemingly conflating the percentage of New York City's population that would have to pay those taxes with the tax rate a small segment of the population would actually pay. But the outrage over a rise in taxes applied exclusively to those who make over $400,000 a year isn't exactly a rallying point for the masses. In 2018, the U.S. Census Bureau listed the annual median personal income at $33,706. In fact, earning $400,000 would easily put you in the top 1% of earners in almost every state. And if Biden's tax plan were to be fully implemented with no alterations, over the next decade it would raise $1.6 to $1.9 trillion from corporations, $1.0 to $1.2 trillion from high earners through income tax, and $800 billion to $1 trillion from Social Security payroll taxes on high-wage earners, according to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. This recent endorsement seems an abrupt shift in political affiliation for 50 Cent, who in September 2016 tweeted, "Let us pray. Lord, please don't let Trump in the office. We will spin out of control." He also claimed in a 2017 interview with Hot 97 where the Trump campaign offered to pay him $500,000 to help him attract black voters, but he turned it down. That's according to Vanity Fair. So that's a strong pivot, but it shows you how money influences people. 50 is a capitalist. 50 is greedy. 50's all about his money. 50 also said he doesn't want to go from being 50 Cent to 20 Cent. His latest tweet featured a clip from Fox News where Trump, once again, Trump campaign advisor Katrina Pearson quoted making the joke about changing his name from 50 Cent to 20 Cent. This is yet another example of, if you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, then don't fucking say anything. 50 you're just saying shit. If Ice Cube was a pawn for Donald Trump, 50 Cent is an even bigger pawn for Donald Trump. 50 Cent is an even bigger token house nigga for Donald Trump because he's openly endorsed him. Cube, to my knowledge, has not openly endorsed Trump. 50 flat out said, yeah, I'm voting for Trump because I don't want my money to be fucked with because Joe's going to raise taxes and is going to hurt me. Well, apparently 50 doesn't understand how all this works because according to CNBC, it was noted, of course, few, if any, taxpayers pay the full statutory rates, which don't include deductions, credits, offsets, loopholes, and lower tax rates on other sources of income. The other sources of income is said to be particularly important, given that most millionaires and billionaires get large chunks of their money from capital gains. When further number crunching comes into play, it's confirmed that it's only income over $400,000 will be taxed at a higher rate of 39.8%, with the first $399,000 taxed at lower marginal rates. So what that means is that there's no realistic situation where 50 would actually end up paying 62% of his income tax. So not only is he a coon, but he doesn't understand economics and taxes. Brothers like 50 are detrimental to the cause. They are hurtful to their own people. You're going to outwardly endorse the man who I often refer to as the gatekeeper of white supremacy and the living embodiment of white privilege. And the crazy thing is, I don't think 50 is alone in his thought process. A lot of brothers and sisters who graduated from the streets to the boardroom, who are now members of the bourgeoisie instead of being members of the working class, share these same sentiments. They're all about their money. It's all about greed. It's all about capital, protecting their finances. So they will put their greed and their capital ahead of the rights and liberties and advancement of their own people. Because at the end of the day, they want to protect their own money. They basically live with the thought process of the ideology of, I made it, I got mine. Why can't you get yours? You on your own, brother. Don't ask me for shit. That's how I look at 50. That's how I look at a lot of these brothers and sisters. They've made it. So they look down on the rest of us as shit. If I'm here, how come you can't get here too? I made it. What's your problem? 50 really showed himself this week. But at the same time, like I said, not just the fact that he's a capitalist, but 50's been showing himself to be a coon for about 17 years. You think about that beef with Ja Rule. He won that decisively. He destroyed Ja Rule. He ended that man's career. And he spent the past 17 years going at Ja Rule to further break that man down. What's the point? I look at that as one brother unnecessarily attacking another brother and trying to take money out of their brother's pocket, take food off that man's table. You already won. It's a silly rap beef. You already won that. What do you really have to gain from all this? From hurting that man's money? From buying up all the tickets to the front row of Ja Rule's concert so it looks stupid on camera when no one sat there? What is the point of all that? You gotta look at it too. How did 50 catch his big break in the music industry? By being co-signed by a white artist, Eminem. 50 had been rapping for years before that, and he was able to get on Shady Aftermath, got co-signed by Dre and Eminem, and the rest is history. It doesn't surprise me when brothers like that speak out of turn the way they did. It disappoints me. It troubles me. It bothers me. Because especially in the year 2020, there's too much on the line for black people. There's too much shit that's happened. We all sat and watched a brother get lynched on camera for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And no justice has come out of that. The people who killed him are walking free right now. The only reason they got arrested because of the Minneapolis police precinct got burned to the ground, so a week later they got arrested. We watched a Daniel Cameron, someone who's black on the outside, tell the American people that property damage to an apartment complex was more valuable than Breonna Taylor's life. We've seen too much. We've heard too much. We've been through too much. So for brothers like 50 to come out and say the things he did, like I said, is detrimental to the cause. But it doesn't surprise me. So Curtis fucked up. And we live in this cancel culture. I have no problem with people canceling Curtis. Fuck him. Plain and simple. No one buys his music anymore anyway. So, and speaking of that though, 50's biggest revenue stream right now is the TV show Power. He's executive producer of that. You have to realize the majority, the demographic of people who watch his show, they're black. So even from a business standpoint, it's stupid to say what he said this week. Because you're pissing off your fan base. You're pissing off the demographic of people who watch his show and put money in your pocket. Whatever. Fuck him. So I just wanted to offer my thoughts on these what's going on with Ice Cube and Curtis. You know, 2020 is the year of clarity. You got a lot of brothers and sisters and people in general exposing themselves, showing their true colors. You got brothers being detrimental, brothers and sisters being detrimental to the cause on purpose, aligning themselves with white folks, tap dancing, caping, shucking and jiving, bootlicking, etc. You got brothers and sisters calling out another brother because he had the nerve to speak out in favor of his own people, as if that's wrong. You got black people calling out Ice Cube. And other brothers, even like me, because we have the audacity to question the Democratic Party. There's a lot of shit going on. 2020 is the year of clarity. I hope people see this shit. Stay black, stay strong, stay positive. This is Dion Gordon, the Dion Gordon Podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.